So, Haribol. You should sing a little bit more. Just a little bit more the Hare Krishna mantra. I want to welcome our internet audience. I think you are all here. I will put this microphone a little bit closer. It's nice to see that so many of you have come here. I will be tomorrow in Berlin town in our Jagannath Mandir, and therefore I was not expecting so many of you here, but thank you for coming. I would like to speak today something from the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila about the idea of following one's calling. I think that's a very important subject matter to consider, and there is a very nice example of a modern devotee who in India has become a modern saint. It is all over the news in our ISKCON media, but it is also all over the news in southern India, and it's about an amazing personality who followed her calling, and I think we can learn something, and then I want to talk about a Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I thought today we will sing a little bit more the Maha Mantra, just a little at the beginning of our program. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste
Hobilam is the place where nine forms of Lord Nrsimhadev are worshipped, and some of them are in caves, others you can reach only if you walk behind waterfalls. You need to first walk through the waterfall, then behind it, and then continue. And there is one temple which is most of the year underwater. If you want to go there, you will have to walk through 1 kilometer of water, which goes up to the chest. there are many snakes in that water. And when you finally enter the cave, you see Lord Nrisimhadev half submerged under water. It is here where our story begins. This temple is so difficult to reach that the weak in spirit and weak in heart never go there. And the priest who worships there comes once a week there. He cannot come more often because it's very hard to go there. This is happening in India. I will now tell you what happened in Azerbaijan, some country, exotic country of Russia. An old lady once came to the temple in Baku. Baku is on the Caspian Sea, and if you draw a line, you come to Persia. This old lady came to Baku. She had received a Bhagavad Gita and she had read it, and she asked the devotees if they would accept her. She said she wants to sell her flat and give the Lakshmi to the temple. The devotees had a meeting and finally decided to build a little anbau, something next to the temple or leaning on the temple, where this older elderly lady was welcomed. Soon it turned out she came to all the programs and all the Mangala Artiks. Once the devotee went into her only room, and it was full of different deities. She had accumulated deities and different devotees from all over Russia who had started to worship their deities and for one reason or another were not capable any longer, gave their deities to this old lady. She was known to be very devoted, but this was not without a problem to the temple devotees. For instance, she bought once a radio-controlled car and placed a deity of Gopal in the car, and then drove the deity in the court room of the temple. And then the devotees asked her, "This is a new form of worship." She said, "Gopal told me." The devotees thought, "Really?" And there were other such creative forms of worship which would not fit totally into the way we really do things in our movement. But the lady always said the Lord told her personally. Once she was already something like 72 years old, she went to a sannyasi who was there and said Gopal had told her to leave Azerbaijan and go to India. There in central India would be a cave in which Lord Nrisimhadev is worshipped, and he is not receiving regular worship and wants her to come to that temple and worship him regularly. The devotee thought, "You 72 years old, do you know what India is? You are cheated the moment you leave the airplane." then you, if you are a Westerner, then it's an intolerable hot climate. And if you go to central India, that place will be Ahobilam. It's very, very difficult. They will not accept ladies to worship Nrisimhadev. You don't know the language. Mm-hmm. They don't know your language. You don't even know English. How will it work? Then there was a video of Ahobilam. In this video, there was this temple which you can reach only by wading through water. I have gone there also, and you go so much deep into the water, and you really do not know what will happen to you. There can be tigers on the way, snakes on the way, but you, trusting Lord Nrisimhadev's promise that he will protect his devotees, we as devotees go there. At least some of us, maybe 10% of our movement goes there. The lady saw that video and said, that's the temple I saw in my, which Gopal showed me, and I need to go. Devotees tried to dissuade her, but she was not someone to be dissuaded. Finally, the devotees knew she would go there anyways, somehow. So they arranged for one devotee from Vrindavan to meet her at the airport take care of her. And she came with two big suitcases. It was clear she wanted to stay in India. Or it seemed like this, because when the suitcases were opened, they were full of deities, only deities. She was asked, you just took deities? She said, how can I leave the Lord? The devotee who received her at the airport tried to say, Vrindavan is only 4 hours by jeep away. Why don't you first go to Vrindavan, hoping that this lady would go and see Radha Syam Sunda, lose her heart, and forget about her impossible dream. But she said, I'm not going anywhere, because in Vrindavan my Lord is taken care of by many devotees, but the Lord is not taken care of in Ahobilam. So when the devotee understood that the old lady is not going to go to Vrindavan and she's going to follow her dream, he went. He brought her to the priest. The priest, and he translated for the priest. This elderly lady had a dream. Lord Nrisimhadev came to her in the dream and said, he's only worshipped once a week and he's hungry for the rest of the days. The priest said, she's a lady. How will she go? I can't go. But the lady said, I'm not returning. So there was a tent. She went into the tent. She said, it's very, very comfortable and perfect there. And lived in the tent. The people in the village heard about the determination of this lady. They soon came together and they built her a little hut. She went every day through the water and worshipped Lord Nrisimhadev. Soon the news spread that there was this lady who didn't speak Hindi, she didn't speak English, she only spoke that Azerbaijan version of Russian language. It's a dialect. And people came to her, stayed in her association, and felt peaceful at heart. Then the major came, a governor, something like a governor, must be a governor, and wanted to see the lady. And she looked reasonable, she looked very devoted, and he had a turn in his mind. He said, "We are living in big houses, and the Lord lives in a cave filled with water. How impossible we are. What is our devotion? A little lady from Russia teaches us about surrender." And he organized, he had a voice, political power he had, a political will. He organized that the worship was increased, that all facilities were given to the lady. And in this way, this Russian lady became a saint, the saint of Ahobilam. She blessed people who asked for blessings. She remained very humble. I saw a video of her. There's someone singing about Krishna, and she pays her obeisances to this singer. She looks reasonable. That is what I can say, but also fiercely determined. In Deutsch sagt man wild entschlossen. Then she was bitten by a cobra, the inevitable. If you live long in the jungle, some cobra will not like it. You may live in her territory or something. She was bitten by a cobra. So she prayed as her last breath was, her breath was leaving her. That's what she said later. She said, as her breath was leaving her, she prayed, "Lord Nrsimhadev, if you brought me all this long distance from Azerbaijan to here, if you want me to die, then this is your will and I will accept, but who will worship you?" Then Lord Nrsimhadev said, "Okay, you just put some charanamrita on the cobra bite, it will bring the poison out, I will take care of the poison and you will worship. Continue to worship." She did this. She applied the medicine of faith. That's only faith medicine. Mm-hmm. She was cured, and she lived for years. And now, recently, she has left her body. The saint of Ahobilam has left her body, and the people of Ahobilam feel a candle who spread light has been extinguished. I leave all of you who listen to this story, which I received from one devotee in Dubai through the email. I leave you up to ponder this question. Is it possible that Krishna talks to a devotee? Is it possible that Krishna gives the devotee an order which becomes the calling, der innere Ruf of the devotee? Is it possible that maybe Krishna's ways are inconceivable and different from everything which we thought? I think Gadadhar will agree very quickly that this is possible. In fact, he will quote Mr. Jung, who said, "God crosses your will." Isn't it? That is what God is. What?
God is whatever crosses his will.
God is whatever crosses his will.
God is what crosses
your will. So it's different than your will.
Is it possible that you, yes, I mean you, can also receive the impossible calling and follow it, although it will look very different from what you thought, it will look very different from what everyone else thought around you, including those who are very close to you? Could it be possible that the words of the Lord are relevant to this day and are relevant today? That is, I, dwelling within their heart, destroy with a blazing torch of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Ich, der ich in ihrem Herzen weile, vernichte mit der lodernden Feuer, lodernden Fackel der Erkenntnis die Dunkelheit, die aus Unwissenheit geboren wird. I really want to have tell this story as an open question, something which you, I request you to engage your mind with as you now listen to our Gauranga Katha, where we hear of an impossible calling in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastime.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, 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 Hare,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt when he was 24 years old the deep calling to leave all those who were dear to him. It's very difficult for us to understand this because we live some 500 years later, but to take sannyas was a very, very earth-shaking decision in old times. The sannyasi would go to his village, would go outside of his village, accompanied by many, many, many people who know him and who were crying and crying and crying. He would take a stick, draw a line on the earth and cross it, and the people who walking with him stopped before that line, and he continued with the understanding that he himself would never go back and cross that line back again. He would be considered socially, that is for his people, a dead person. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was loved by the people of Navadvip. He was the He was as important to them as the apple of the eye. Das ist in Deutsch die Pupille. He was really the beloved of children, young people, and old people. In fact, they could not imagine to live without him. But once it so happened that that was towards the end, that he was found in his own school in one corner, remembering how Krishna left the gopis. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling the tremendous pain of the gopis, was starting to sympathize with them, and he chanted with tears in his eyes. In a corner of his own school, the professor sat down, chanted, "Gopi, gopi, gopi, gopi." The students were surprised. Shouldn't one chant the names of Krishna? Gopi means a cowherd girl. What was the professor doing? And they said to him, first respectfully, "Shouldn't you chant the names of Krishna?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fully in the mood of Radha, who suffered when Krishna left the Vrindavan, and who sympathized with all the other gopis who also were thrown into a lake of poison. Lord Chaitanya said, "Krishna, this scoundrel means this rascal, why should I chant the name of a rascal?" This was too much for the students. Our teacher calls God a rascal. Too much. This is, and they began to criticize him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw how the students were taking the side of Krishna, he was further enraged, picked up a stick and ran after the student. One student, his name starts with A, I've forgotten his name deliberately, he complained to Gangadas and said, your student, who's now our teacher, has become mad. You need to do something to discipline him." So when Gauranga Mahaprabhu became aware of this, he said one mythical sentence, mysterious sentence. You say in English, an enigmatic sentence. Enigmatic heißt rätselhaft. "The medicine Pipalikanda was prepared to cure an excess amount of mucus, but now it has been shown that it had the opposite effect. The mucus has only increased." With this, he wanted to say, "I came to help people come closer to Krishna and cure their disease, which is like a mucus disease. I came to give them the medicine, but now they are revolting against me. I must do something to save these people." And knowing that at that time sannyas was highly respected by one and all, he decided to take sannyas in order to move himself into a very respectable social position where he would not be questioned and criticized any longer. So he said, "I have come to bring people love of Godhead, but now where they turn against me, I will shave up. Then they will respect me and take the medicine." The first one he told about his calling was Nitai, who broke down crying. The second person he informed was Mukunda, who, when he heard Mahaprabhu's decision, he responded by singing a song and then fainted. Shocking, you know, when someone tells you something and you sing, it means it really has, you know, really has shocked you or something. Then he told Gadadha. Gadadha said, in order to spread Dharma, do you have to kill your mother? Gadadha knew that Mother Sachi would most probably not survive. Then he told Mother Sachi. When Mother Sachi heard the decision of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, she who loves him more than we can imagine, and who never wanted to say or do anything to oppose her divine son, went to a secluded place where Gauranga would not see her reaction and wept helplessly. Already her husband, Jagannath Mishra, had left her. Already her second son, Vishwarupa, had left her. And before Vishwarupa, 7 or 8 daughters who had been born had left her. Do you, right after the birth, do you know what it means for a woman if she loses a child? I have one woman disciple who told me that she lost a child when the child was only this small. It was for many years a big trauma. Yesterday we saw a woman as strong as a giant, Jan Riese, weeping, having water in her eyes. I asked her, how many children do you have? Because she always said, I have many children, and they all came out good. And then she said, with tears in her eyes, I have 3 children. One died when she was still in the womb. The other child died when she was born, and now I have 1 daughter. 3 children! Because how can a woman, how can a mother survive the death of one of her children? It's not possible. And taking sannyas was equivalent to a social death. Mother Sachi did not know what to think. She just cries. Then, in the evening, Gauranga Mahaprabhu came to his mother. He said, please do not think I can actually leave you. I have descended in this world in 2 forms: the chanting of the holy name and the bliss of deity worship. If you take shelter in Sankirtan and the worship of deities, I will always be with you. This is what Mother Sachi did. She chanted the holy name and worshipped 2 deities. Do you know what deities they were? Krishna Balaram. And Lord Chaitanya would often come, because he is Krishna, from Puri and take prasadam, which she cooked. Because he had said, I'm there when you have the holy name and that you enjoy the bliss of deity worship. Please find your happiness in these two forms. Later, Mahaprabhu met all the devotees and he also told them, please find your happiness in these two forms. Worship me by singing the holy name and worshipping the deities. I think if you look today on the beautiful form of Radha Kunya Bihari, maybe our cameraman can do this for all of you who see, you must agree, they are very, very beautiful. And Kunya Bihari has a turban where he looks extremely adventurous. Abenteuerlich fast. Ne? He is ready for action. So this is the bliss of deity worship and the bliss of chanting the holy name. That's where Mahaprabhu can be found. That's where God can be found. That's where he can always reveal himself to the devotees. When Mother Sachi, you know, when you hear a news which is shocking, you first park it somewhere, and then depending how shocking the news is, when it's very shocking it takes a few hours, when it's not so shocking, then somehow the mind goes back to the news and deals with the news, and then the entire shock comes over you. It's the second time. Have you ever noticed this? When you have a shocking news, maybe someone died who's close to you, first you hear it and the mind just can't deal with it. Then the mind goes again to the news after some time, and then the news strikes you in its full strength. Oops. Sorry, Hare Krishna. So Mother Sachi, when she actually understood Gauranga Mahaprabhu wanted to leave her, fell down unconscious to the floor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down before his mother and sprinkled water on her. And when Mother Sachi came back to life, she said some beautiful words which I want to read to you. Na jaiba, na jaiba, bapa mayera chadia. Don't go, dear son, don't leave me and go away. I can only stay alive when I look at your beautiful lotus face. Your eyes are like lotus flowers. Your face is the moon. Your red lips are beautiful. Your teeth are pearls and jasmine flowers. When you speak, your beautiful words are like a shower of nectar. If I cannot see your walking and your graceful movements, which look like that of an elephant, how can I remain alive? You have so many friends here: Advaita, Srivas, Nityananda. You have, please stay here at home and happily perform Sankirtan with them. She offers an alternative. Dear son, it is to teach the true religion that you came to this world. If you abandon your mother, how will you teach religion? You are dharma, or religion personified. If you give up your mother, how will you teach religion to the world? Mother Sachi was thinking about something which many of us have forgotten. We were once not in this body. We had once died, and we were now helplessly driven in the atmosphere. Then our mother and father came together, and they gave us this physical body. For this, we are grateful. But of the two, father and mother, we are much more grateful to the mother. Because if it were not for the mother, we would have no place to stay when we were so small. If the mother would not have taken us and given us a home in her womb, supplied us with sufficient nourishment, then where would we be? The father's job for us coming into this world was small. The father's job was most probably full of joy. But the mother had to carry us for 9 months, is it 9 months? Yes, 9 months in her womb. And she had to give birth to us, which is something so painful that all of us men would even die with half of the pain. That's the scientific thing. Women have that special ability to tolerate this pain, which men cannot tolerate half of it. Therefore it is said, you can disobey your father. You can disobey your guru even, in the Vedic idea, but you can never disobey your mother. We had three grandmothers dying in the last week, and we did a wonderful ceremony in our Gaurabhavan for those grandmothers. We tried to go into the mood of the children of the mothers who are crying now. Because mother is very, very important. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu is now challenged by his mother. You came to teach Dharma. You are Dharma personified. If you give up your mother, how will you teach Dharma to the world? Mother Sachi is saying this. And then she sings in the Karuna Baitali Raga. It's a raga which invokes compassion, Karuna. Pranira Gauranga Herabab Anatini Chadite Najujai. Dear son, more dear to me than life, dear Gauranga, look at me. It is not right for you to give up your widowed, helpless mother. Perform kirtan here with everyone in your own courtyard. Nityananda will help you. I look in your love-filled eyes. I look at your long arms. Your words shower nectar upon me. Even when there are no lamps, your limbs fill my house with light. How much nectar comes from your reddish feet? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and listened to the person who was most dear to him. Sachi was like Kaushalya speaking to Lord Ram. Then, by that time, Sachi had turned white. Her hair was already white. Now her skin was white. She was all skin and bones. Overcome with grief, she had not eaten anything. When Lord Chaitanya saw that his mother would not stay alive if he would leave her, He took her to a secluded place and said, "Please listen. For many births I have been your son. Please carefully listen to your own glories. There was a time when you had the name Prishni. There was a time when you were Aditi in Svargaloka. Then also I was your son. At the time I descended to this world and was known as Vamana." You know Vamana? Aditi's son. "Then you were also my mother. Then again you became Devahuti, and I became your son known as another time you became Kaushalya, and I became your son. Another time you became Devaki in Mathura, and you were imprisoned by the demon Kamsa. Then also you were my mother, and my name was
Krishna.
You were..." Here's an opinion, a difference of opinion between the second initiated Brahmanas. One says Vasudev, one said Krishna. I leave it up to you to make the final decision. "And then also you were my mother. You were..." No one is sure any longer. "Devaki." That's right. There are different opinions about this. "I have taken birth twice to begin the Sankirtan movement. Both times I am your son." So it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. "You..." And now he says something. "You are the goddess of the earth, and therefore you are the mother of my deity form." A deity is made out of earth, either the earth or the jewels or the wood and so on. "You are my mother in the form of my deity form, and you are also the tongues of everyone, and therefore you are the mother of my form as what?
Holy name.
As a holy name." Do you understand? Mahaprabhu had said, today I have a little dull audience here, so I will make it a little bit more clear. Mahaprabhu had said, "You will, to all the devotees, you will always have my association in two forms. The bliss of Sankirtan and the bliss of deity worship." And now he tells his mother, "You are always together with me because you are the tongue in everyone." That means you have given birth to the holy name. "And you are the earth." That is, you have given form to my deity form. "In this way, you are my mother, birth after birth. In my heart, I will never leave you. I'm not lying. I speak the truth. Please do not feel unhappy in your heart." I think when we feel a calling, we need to negotiate with our environment. Gauranga Mahaprabhu had to negotiate with his mother and tell her how he would be always together, because how could he leave the person, his mother, and be the cause of her death? Not possible. Not possible. So he had to negotiate, verhandeln, and find out a way how to pacify his mother and how to stay, leave and stay. When we have a calling in our heart, it is best if we can negotiate with our environment, with those who are dear to us, and pacify them. Not be selfish and just see how we can follow our own calling. Maybe some of you have not taken care enough of this point. When you left your family and became a Hare Krishna devotee, maybe you still owe a debt to your mother and your father, which you have to pay. Let us look at this example of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and how he dealt with the calling which he had. He left, but he stayed. This becomes very clear when we get another Shastric Praman. Praman means proof, and Shastric means from the scriptures. It's very moving, and we have to move up the scale. Mother Sachi says in this account, I think it is from Chaitanya Mangala, you are saying you will leave me. I think now my karmic reactions have fructified. I who was glorified in Navadvip as the mother of Vishwambar, the maintainer of the universe, will now be laughed upon as a person who is left by her son. There, everyone will say there was no real love at home. No one will even utter my name. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard this. He replied, "Oh, mother, mother, do not speak in this way. I'm telling you the truth. Although I leave my home, in every country you will remain my mother. Even in previous lives you were my mother, and I was your son. I am worshipped throughout the three worlds, but you are worshipful even for me. If someone says, 'Oh, Shachinandan,' means, 'Oh, son of Sachi,' even if they are completely devoid of devotional practices, they at once bring me along with all my associates under their control." Please let us throw our heads in the air and say, "Oh, Shachinandan!
Oh, Shachinandan!
Whosoever joyfully sings the name Sachinandan becomes imbued with transcendental knowledge." You just need to sing Sachinandan, Sachinandan, and you get transcendental knowledge. He becomes an expert in all the scriptures, filled with love, and he becomes exceedingly, also außerordentlich, dear to me. One who simply utters the name Sachinandan,
Sachinandan,
is blessed and has purchased me. Whoever repeatedly sings Sachinandan,
Sachinandan,
with a happy heart, his knowledge and wealth are fully successful. Some of us are thinking about business. You need to now introduce this process in the business. Start your day with singing joyfully Sachinandan. And you will become, and someone who does this personally becomes a sacred place of pilgrimage. One who utters the name Sachi,
Sachi,
Sachiputra,
Sachiputra,
or no, Putra, Sachiputra,
Sachiputra,
or Navadvip,
Navadvip,
attains the fruit of perfectly studying Vedanta. If at any times a person sings Sri Sachi, Sri Sachi, Sri Sachi,
Sri Sachi, Sri Sachi, Sri Sachi,
I remain satisfied with him for lifetimes. Oh, what more can I say? That person becomes my guru. Therefore I say, Mahaprabhu says, therefore I say, by accepting the name of Sri Shachi, even a great offender becomes extremely dear to Sri Gauranga. Actually, this is the author of this article. No? So Mahaprabhu, so the verse, there is a verse which ends with this. Anarpita charischirat karunavatyeno kalo samapaitum munatochala rasangsa bhakti shriyam harisundara duty kadamba sandipito sadaridaya kandare spuratova Sachinandana. May Sri Sachinandan Hari manifest himself within the deepest region of all of your hearts. May he come in the cave of our heart. This is Mahaprabhu. I like this very much, that Mahaprabhu has given the sacrifice in order to save the world. He left her who is most dear to her, to him. He left Mother Sachi for all of us. He has not left her indiscreetly and unconsiderate. He said he would stay with her, and he often promised or gave this. He often showed this in his pastime, that when Mother Sachi was offering food to her deities of Krishna, Balaram, Lord Chaitanya came all the way from Puri, and he did this daily, every day, to eat at her altar, because she would cook for him anything and everything according to his sweet desire. This is the sweet relationship, and it is an example for all of us to, on one side, follow our calling, do what is necessary, but not leave bridges smoldering in the fire of our arrogance. Hare Krishna, some poetic words. We cannot, following our calling, disturb those who are dear and near. We need to find a way so that they are satisfied and pacified in the best possible way which is possible. Krishna. So we have come to the end. We have 5 more minutes to end our katha. But there's a question of Muniraj. Yes.
I'd like to ask one question, because you spoke about the inner calling, which is a very deep matter. And sometimes, also in the past, I might have seen some devotees thinking to have the calling, but then following the calling, but then maybe not coming to the goal of the calling, and then maybe that has been mind to some extent, but they thought they were guided, but then it turned out to be not as successful as they thought. So the question is, when do I know, or when does a devotee know that is a true calling? Or that is maybe just a whimsical
idea
which comes up, or which might be a desire of one's own instead of the Lord speaking through the person.
It's a wonderful question, which is dealt with in all genuine spiritual paths. It's called the differentiating the voice. What is the voice of the mind? or anything, could be also other entities who take possession, and what is the true calling from the Lord in the heart. I could speak about this for many hours now, because I've just written, I'm coming to the end of the Param Atma module, a very moving account of this, because there is a person who has a calling, and he needs to clarify this for himself in that Paramatma module. And the idea is the voice of the super soul. I will tell it very clearly. When it's really a voice of the super soul or a true calling, you will feel great certainty that this must be done, and a gewissheit. The mind will be satisfied and peaceful. And if you are not able to follow that calling at the moment, it will come repeatedly. The super soul will not just give one idea and then you either take it or leave it. But knowing well that your own doubts, your hesitations, your weaknesses are in the way, he will again and again come. I personally have this in my life, that the Lord wants me to at this moment go something which requires a personal sacrifice of me. And what I have seen is I was not able to follow this calling for quite some time, but it has come again and again. And the Lord is very kind. It comes through scriptures. You read in the scriptures, wow, yes, I should do it. You hear it from your spiritual master. I mean, as I listen to a tape of Srila Prabhupada, the super soul, you must know, directs everything, and he can speak through many mouths. He can speak through many languages. Even he can do something you can take something like an oracle, which you may not in other times give much weight to, and boom, you pick the card, and it is exactly what is going on already since many, many days, many years, and so on. And you think, what else do I need? In other words, I want to say briefly here, but I have given a whole thing about this after a lot of research, and just in brief, it will be very clear. You will not doubt it, that this is right to do, and it will come again and again. Then it's a good calling. Now, if you want to see if this is really very, very good, if you still have a shadow of a doubt, it's always said you should go to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastras, your friends, spiritual friends, and the scriptures are for sure available to you, and Prabhupada is also available to you. And mostly, if it's a real thing, it will come through these things. You will see, and you will not have any opportunity to doubt it if it's a real calling. Like this lady, everything, Moni, was against this. You know, 72 years, lady doesn't speak anything, has given all her Lakshmi to the temple, and somehow she ends up in India, and the Lord takes care of her in some ways. Now, many of us had a calling to come to Krishna consciousness, but if we asked ourselves, am I really successful? Have I reached the perfection of my calling? We say, Krishna. And the reason is mostly that is my own analysis and the analysis of Jiva Goswami. It lies in a word, Sharanagati. Jiva Goswami says you can leave aside all the other processes of bhakti. If you only follow Sharanagati, you will get the perfection of bhakti. And he says that when you can surrender to the Lord's wish, then the relationship between you and the Lord is clear, so that you are nourished by Him. But when you are not able to surrender, which is natural, I mean, we should not have natural means in the sense it's not that this will happen to most conditioned souls, no? Then your lack of surrender builds something like a cloud which is between you and the Lord, just like a cloud is between you and the sun. The Lord is always there, but your lack of surrender builds a cloud so that you cannot be nourished by the rays. So for all devotees who have understood, I'm dependent of Krishna. This is, first of all, that you need to understand this. I'm dependent on Krishna. And who have then surrendered to Krishna, everything goes extremely easy. But no one of us can and will surrender if you do not fully understand my life is dependent on Him. You will not do it. You will take other shelters, Durasharya is the Sanskrit word, which are like clouds between you and the Lord. So this first understanding is how our life is dependent on Krishna. We usually understand it when we have a very difficult situation, like a life-threatening disease, for instance, or when something happens in our private life which was like a thunderbolt and which almost cut all the old structures to pieces, which we have put in our lives. Then we sometimes understand, I'm not the architect of my future or of my life. There is someone else I have to turn to. But this this feeling dependent of the Lord is what most of us lack. If we would have it 100%, it would be easier to surrender. I will leave you with a little story which I told the children today. There was once the successor of Ramanuja. He went with some of his associates through the forest. And as he walked, all of a sudden, the underbrush parted, also Unterholz, sagt man, and a hunter stood before him, trembling. This hunter had smeared himself with black ashes so that the animals wouldn't see him. But he was totally disturbed. Why are you so disturbed? Something happened to me just now. I saw a very fat rabbit, ein fettes Kaninchen, and I was getting ready to shoot it, when the rabbit, seeing me, ran towards me and encircled me. I was afraid. What is this? Is this a boot? A boot means ghost. You know, because rabbits don't do this. They don't run towards people. And then the rabbit put his head on my feet. I was totally disarmed by this rabbit. I live from selling the meat and the fur of the animals I hunt. But when this animal, seeing no other hope to survive, came to me and just put his head on my feet. I felt, how can I how can I destroy this animal? And now I'm thinking about my whole life as a hunter, and I'm disturbed. Should I continue or not? So when this pontiff, also the pontiff, wie sagt man das in Deutsch, this abbot, this successor of Ramanuja, heard this, he developed symptoms of ecstasy and fell on the ground. And after half an hour or so, when he was revived, his associates asked him, "For what happened to you?" And he said, "I'm just thinking about it. To accept someone who is surrendering is so natural that even the hunter accepted a rabbit and maintained her. The rabbit had not read in the Bhagavad Gita that verse where the Lord says, give up all other processes and surrender unto me, I will protect you. The rabbit had no knowledge of this shloka. But naturally he understood, my life is dependent on the hunter, I better surrender. The hunter had no intention to protect and save the life of the rabbit. He lives by killing. But when he saw this, he, in the most natural way, took care of the rabbit. Why are we human beings who read the Bhagavad Gita, who hear about the willingness of the Lord to protect us, so unnatural and so abnormal and so sick in our minds that we cannot surrender? I have fainted to the ground. I think you can all ask yourself, when do you turn to Krishna? We have in our Gaura Bhavan wonderful devotees, and I told just one of the devotees yesterday, please, you need to turn to Krishna now and surrender to him. That will help you to understand your life better. And the devotees did, and already it's going some good direction. This is the thing. We don't yet surrender to Krishna because we don't understand that we are dependent on him. If we do, it will be the most natural thing. So therefore, I'm always saying, surrender in small steps. Every journey starts with a step out of the house. Every journey. And to make that step out of the house, follow your calling. With this, I'm looking into the camera, because I mean you also there in the camera. I want to thank you very much. Now our time is up. I think we were just maybe three. We have learned a new melody, Jai Krishna and myself. We did just 3 minutes just to finish it properly. Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Nur ganz kurz in Deutsch. Also natürlich, wisst ihr, wenn ich über sowas spreche, über Surrender, dann ist mir schon klar, das ist manchmal ziemlich abstrakt. Was bedeutet das jetzt für mich im Leben? Das ist nicht immer leicht, das zu realisieren und zu verstehen. Und ich glaube, das muss jeder für sich rausfinden. Das ist wirklich etwas sehr, sehr Individuelles. Und es ist schon richtig, wie Moni sagt, man muss da ein bisschen sehen, wo ist das Calling, was man hat und was man auch spürt. Ich glaube, dass Krishna uns hilft, wenn wir uns überlegen, wie wir surrendern, dass er uns zeigt, hier an diesem Punkt wäre es gut. Ich glaube, zu Surrender, also ich merke das zum Beispiel ganz einfach im Kirtan. Da ist schon so etwas, da ist so eine Gelegenheit. Kennt ihr das, wenn man im Kirtan ist, man ist in einem Mood, man singt eigentlich nicht so richtig. Und dann sagt man, ich will mich jetzt surrender zum Kirtan. Und dann singt man mit voller Kraft, so mit full force. Man singt ja mit voller Kraft und dann merkt man sofort, dann geht eine Wolke weg. Nicht? Also das kann man sofort merken. Und ich glaube, es ist jeder Einzelne von uns wird sehen, wenn er sich surrendert, an dem Punkt, wo er sich surrendern müsste, dann geht einfach eine Wolke weg. Das spürt man sofort. Das ist sofort da, weil es ist nur dieser Mangel an Surrender, der so eine Wolke zwischen der Krishna-Sonne und uns bildet. Es ist eine sehr individuelle Sache und das heißt an unterschiedlichen Stationen des Weges unterschiedliches. Aber eigentlich ist in dieser Praxis der ganze Prozess des Bhakti drin. Also das ist, da kommt es drauf an in der Bhakti. Das ist der entscheidende Punkt. Ich habe gerade nochmal mir den Text von unserem, also von Srila Prabhupada durchgelesen. Da sagt er, als Krishna zu Arjuna sagt, gib alles andere auf, meint er wirklich alle anderen Prozesse, weil er weiß, dass nur durch diesen Prozess des Surrenderns zu Krishna die Perfektion des Lebens erreicht werden kann. Nur dadurch. Und du kannst, das heißt, du kannst tausend andere Sachen machen in deiner Bhakti, aber wenn du nicht surrenderst, dann ist das vergebens, letztendlich. Ist nicht, da ist es wirklich sehr, sehr einfach. Das ist der Schlüssel
through the Shatskama de Bhakti.
Good.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
So, darf ich dir ein Bhagavatam und Sie haben Namen bitten?